Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of Across the Broken Stars, and I'm joined by my co-hosts for the first episode of 2022, starting with Michael R. Fletcher.
Hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of Dark Fantasy, which is behind me, In the Dark.
And Rob J. Hayes.
I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of, we'll go Immortal Techniques, there we go.
Nice. And this is our very first episode kicking off 2022. Can you believe it? This is season 3 of the podcast.
We're splitting into seasons.
How has no one stopped us from doing this?
They have. I've just barricaded the front door.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. And it's soundproof, so you can't hear them trying to get in to stop us recording.
We're in season 3. Are we going to start introducing a storyline? You know, like have an overreaching arc. Stop being Monster of the Week. I think Fletcher should become the bad guy.
Oh, I like it.
It would be
also
too obvious, don't you reckon?
The shark episode where it's all just flashbacks to conversations we've previously had.
I like that.
That's what this one is.
I like that. This can be a nice little flashback episode. Well, that is totally on point. So nice work bringing that up, Fletcher, because I thought for today's episode, to start off the new year, we could talk a little bit about last year and specifically some of the writing lessons that we learned and things that we discovered through the various projects that we did in 2021. So to kind of start this off, why don't we all go through and just briefly recap the stories we published last year and things we were writing last year, if we can talk about them. I don't know, some of you might not want to.
If we can remember.
Yeah, share exact details or just remember them in the first place. So Rob, do you want to kick off first?
Sure. Okay. So last year, 2021, I published 2 new Mortal Techniques books. I published Pawn's Gambit, which was book 2, and Spirits of Vengeance, which was book 3. And I was writing, what did I write last year? I wrote books last year. I'm sure I did. I wrote book 4 of The War Eternal, Esker's book 4.
Sins of the Mother, right?
Yes, Sins of the Mother, which is releasing May.
Ooh, very exciting.
2022. And I wrote my sci-fantasy, progression fantasy thing, which doesn't sound like I wrote a lot.
What's the name of the progression fantasy thing?
It's called Titan Hoppers. I'll probably be publishing it under a pseudonym.
Interesting. Okay, that'll be cool to see how that goes.
Crazy.
Yeah, indeed.
You're setting it up to tank like from day one.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, if this fails, I'm just going to be like, nah, forget that. it's a different genre and it's progression fantasy and all that lot. So I thought I'll go with a pseudonym and yeah.
I mean, you did literally have
the books we were embarrassed about, though. No, all right.
It's worthwhile remembering, Rob, in our last episode with Will White, you literally have the world's best-selling progression fantasy author say he likes your progression fantasy-esque stuff in The Mortal Techniques. So
I know
that's a pretty good.
Send him a copy. I was like, all right.
Could be worthwhile looking into, I think. Okay, so, last year you had two releases, and then you had two projects that you were working on.
Yes, cool. And it's weird because it doesn't feel like I wrote much, but I'm sure I must have written more. I think I finished writing Spirits of Vengeance last year as well, so there was that much as well.
Cool.
I learned quite a few lessons last year. First off, I actually learned to take a break, which I'm kind of doing right now as well, because burnout's a thing, and it hit me pretty hard last year. There were points where I was just like, I'd get like a good Monday and Tuesday writing, and then Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, I'd be struggling and I just couldn't concentrate, and I was just angry because I couldn't write properly. And yeah, and I realized I was just sort of teetering on the edge of burnout, and like, it wasn't a good place to be. So I'm trying to take a bit more time off and not beat myself up so much when I'm not getting words down on the page.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Seriously difficult.
It is, and it's something that a lot of authors I know who have been going through it, and I think a large part of that is due to, well, we're still in, what are we now, year three of the plague, which is affecting everybody still. I didn't think it was affecting me. Turns out it is. So burning out, trying not to do it, taking breaks, that's one of my big lessons learned.
What would you say for writers who like aren't sure if they are or are not experiencing burnout, like based on your experience, what would you say are some of the like warning signs or red flags or just hints that maybe you are experiencing this thing and you could benefit from taking a break?
I mean, for me, it was very much this, I'd get a really good Monday down. Like I'd take the weekend off and then I'd come back on Monday feeling refreshed and I'd be like, bang, 4,000 words. Nailing it. And then Tuesday I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe 3,000. And then it comes to Wednesday and I'm like, yeah, I'm struggling to get 1,000 words down. And it was just a constant decline through the week that really made me go, oh shit, I think I'm teetering on the edge here. This is not good. So that was the biggest indicator for me when I really realized this isn't sustainable. I'm not getting my weekly words down, and it's starting to anger me. And yeah, so that's it for me anyway. I think it's probably one of those things where it's very different for every person though.
What did you do in those periods of rest to try to recover from the burnout? And what was the most kind of effective things? And were there any things that were maybe not that effective?
To be honest, the hardest bit about it is literally stopping, because I just want to continue. I've got so many stories to that still in my head that I want to keep writing. So I was just like, it was a real struggle for me to stop. And the worst bit about it was the fact that my brain kept telling me it's wrong to stop, you know? So I'd be like, I'd be going and playing a computer game. And then after half an hour playing a computer game, I'm like, this is time wasted. I could be writing or something instead. Which isn't good as well, because you still need to do things like play computer games or watch TV or read books in order to you know, get the creative juices flowing, because you know that's the sort of thing that's inspired me over the years, and that's the thing that's going to keep inspiring me. So as to sort of like what didn't work, I don't actually know. It's something I'm still struggling with at the moment. At the moment, I'm on enforced leave. My wife, not wife, has basically said no working until like first week of January, I guess. So I'm just sitting down, reading a lot, and being dragged out for walks by a beagle. That's basically what I'm doing at the moment.
I think you bring up a good point there about trying to overcome that sense of guilt that you have when you're doing something fun, like playing a video game, like reading a book, like watching a movie or something. And that is something that I feel I used to maybe have like a little bit of guilt over that in the past, because I'm like, oh, I'm doing something that's not that difficult or challenging and I could be writing in this time. And I think you got to remind yourself that that is actually one of the most valuable things that you can be doing as a writer, is recharging and replenishing that creative well, because when you start out as a writer, you know, you have all of this material in the back of your head from years and years and years of reading books, watching movies, TV series, video games, whatever it is. And then that carries you through, I think, the first couple of years of writing really well. But if you kind of just dedicate yourself solely to writing during that period, you do reach a point where you're like, I don't have any ideas left anymore. Like, my creative well is really depleted because I haven't been adding to it. So yeah, trying to keep up that habit of doing these things is really useful. And I think the thing that helped me a bit with that personally, and it maybe this is kind of a perversion of it, so it might not work for everybody, but something that's made me a lot less guilty about watching films recently is having a document on my computer where every time I watch a film, I like just write down a couple of writing lessons that I've learned from it. And I've been doing it for the last half year or so. And it's been great because I'm like, I enjoy watching the film and I totally don't have my brain switched into that writing mode when I'm watching it. And then a few days after, you know, I think about it again. I'm like, oh, this thing was really cool. And that's like, that sort of inspired me in this way. And then you write it down. And so it's kind of like the best of both worlds, where you get to enjoy doing this thing and you also get to like benefit from it in a meaningful, tangible way as a writer. And even if you don't do that, like there's still total value to just sitting down and enjoying a book, because hopefully that's the experience that you're trying to create for your readers. And if you're not able to experience that yourself, then how can you possibly create that for someone else?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. You definitely need to keep reading, to keep watching, to keep doing these things. And yeah, part of it is definitely, yeah, you're picking up new ways to do things, new ideas, all of that lot. I mean, I've been working through a lot of Korean dramas on Netflix, watching through those. And I've learned some really good lessons, because there's some really good ones out there. And the way they do sort of like, it's the way they sort of tell the story, and the way they leave everything on these series of escalating cliffhangers. And yeah, the show's just like, they really hook you in and sort of like drag you along. So that's something that I've been like, ooh, interesting.
That's awesome. Any particular ones to recommend?
Obviously Squid Game's the big one. I'm sure most people have probably heard of that one.
Oh yeah.
But I recently watched a crime drama one called My Name, which is sort of about a lass whose father is a crime lord who dies, and then she goes on a bit of a revenge spree to try and find out who killed him, basically, and take revenge. And it was absolutely fascinating, and the characters felt so alive that it just dragged you in and really hooked you into it. It was kind of like it was kind of the same level of immersion and feel for the characters that I got from reading things like Jade City and Jade War, and soon hopefully Jade Legacy. Fingers
crossed. I really need to read that series. It sounds like it's totally up my alley.
It's amazing. It's honestly one of the best things I've read in the past few years. It's absolutely astounding. So
it's Fonda Lee, the author, right?
Yes, Fonda Lee. Yeah.
I wonder if we should try to see if she wants to come on the show.
I'd get her on, go for it. Get everybody on. I think we should start aiming for the stars as well. Let's get Brandon Sanderson on here.
I would die if we had Brandon Sanderson on. I'd be so happy. He's the best. Yeah, I'd love for that to happen.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
Yeah. That's all right, Mike. You can have someone on who I don't like or whatever. You can have some, I don't know.
No, see, that won't happen because I actually like good writers.
Oh, we're trying to get Brandon Sanderson on the show.
I knew what are you going to get me in trouble. God damn it. I walked right into that.
Don't do this, Mike.
I'm listening to Brandon Sanderson at the moment, and it's not great.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I've got Cytonic sitting right over here. I haven't started it yet. It's like my New Year's presents myself, and I'm very excited
for it. It's a bit crap.
Don't say it.
It is. It's crap.
We're trying to get Sanderson on the show. We're not trying to criticize him here. I just want to say I do not agree with any of these other comments that are flinging around from my co-hosts. And whatever is the opposite of condoning, I don't condone them. Consider them uncondoned.
Condemning.
Anyway, what is that?
Condemning.
Condemning. Oh, yeah. Condemn. Yeah. Consider your comments condemned. Your comments are in
condemning
a...
Condemning and condoning. They're very close together, though, aren't they, Jed? I mean, which one are you really doing?
I don't know anymore. I thought you guys supported me in my dream to talk to Sanderson, but it seems like it'll never happen now. Big sad. How about, we all love Abercrombie, right? Can we get him on?
Yeah.
Great. No concern.
I mean, I love some of his books.
No, Rob, what are you doing?
I thought Red County was a bit shit.
Oh, I love Red Country.
Is it country or it was yes. County?
Red County. That'll be like the follow-up in 20 years time when he's like out of money and he's like, yeah, let's just cash in on this Godfather 3 style.
I thought that's what Red Country was, just a cash in.
Well, it'll be a double cash in.
No, I mean, like Best Red of Country. Cold and Heroes were pretty good.
What's that?
Best of Cold and Heroes were pretty good. I mean,
Heroes is amazing. I got to reread that. That was the book that made me like, yeah, really, really like Abercrombie. I think that was amazing.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good about his new series, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I've been like sort of saving that until all three books are out. And now they're all out. I'm like, it's going to be a good couple of weeks when I get those and just can plow through the whole thing because it sounds like it's been good, but haven't read it yet, so I'll reserve judgments. What were we talking about before we started criticizing the authors that I really wanted to get on the show and that I deeply
I don't know, we just started shit
2021 lessons learned, what we got,
that's right, that's that right crap. Yeah, so what about you, Mike? What writing projects did you publish last year? What writing projects did you release last year? Sorry, work on last year.
Yeah, so I think I released two books in 2021. She Dreams in Blood, the sequel to Blackstone Heart, and Norilska Groans, written with a Clayton W. Snyder, which is currently an SPFBO finalist. Yay!
Well,
but is going to
just an SPFBO winner, please.
Probably either Forever King or. Legacy of the Brightwash, I think. So I released those two books. I wrote an ungodly amount. And I think I wrote about 90,000 words in three false starts on the last Obsidian Path book.
You almost made a lot of people very happy there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So. Ooh. I started it three times, got 20 to 30,000 words in or more like each time, and then just hated it, fucking totally hated it, trashed it, started again. And on the fourth time, it was also going to be a false start. I set it aside and was like, fuck, I just can't do this. I think I just walked away from it for a month, came back and was like, all right, dude, just read what you have. See if it actually really is as bad as you think it is. And when I read through it, it was actually a lot better than I thought. And I realized, you know, looking at that, I'm kind of like, I suspect if I could dig up that that very first false start, it probably would have been fine. You know, I think I was just not in the right place to finish the book at the time. So as in terms of shit I got actually finished and written, the last Obsidian Path book, An End of Sorrow, actually just a couple of weeks ago, first draft. So it's currently out with my with a couple of beta readers.
Sorry, what was that second one you mentioned? Is that the Insect Floating Cities one?
No, that's, so I did world building on that. There's, I don't know, 30,000 words of world building done on that thing and character development. The last Obsidian Path book.
Got it.
Wrote and finished that in 2021. Also had a false start. No, maybe not a false start. A start on another Norilsko book, but we kind of set that aside for a different project, which I will talk about later when we're a little farther into it. And once we feel confident that we're actually going to finish the thing.
Is this the secret project you mentioned on Twitter?
Yeah. Secret project.
Not so secret anymore.
Yeah, well, it's still serious. Nobody actually knows what we're doing, kind of. some people might guess. Anyway, whatever. So I think that's it for writing. Like, all told, 300,000 words or more this year. Like, between world-building documents, various false starts, books actually finished. So it's like, I wrote a lot. It feels weird. I released two books, but that feels like I was slacking somehow.
Yep.
But I was like, how can two books in one year be slacking? Yeah. And I'm looking at the next year. I'm like, oh, I want to release 3 books, but I don't know if I can. 2022, I think it'll be 2 books again.
Yeah. It feels like a slippery slope, doesn't it? It's like you get to the point where you're like, I should be writing more. I should be releasing more and more and more and more. And yeah. Yep.
I right now have 1, 2, 3 books kind of on the go. And like you said, so many ideas, you got so many books you want to write, and there's not enough time, or there's enough time, there's just not enough me to do it all. And it's very frustrating. And like, I get burnout and I don't really know what to do with it. I kind of write until I burn out, and that's the way I deal with it. I write until I just fucking crash hard, and then I stop until I can write again. And then I just throw myself back into it. Like avoiding burnout. Like I can't stop until I have to. They're probably a smarter person would figure out some way of like pacing themselves, but it's like, it's go, hit the wall, lie on the floor, you know, doing whatever you need to do, get drunk, play video games, until you're kind of like, you lift your head up and look around and go like, oh, I have an idea. I need to write this.
See, I think that's pretty much what I've been doing, and it's not good.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know about pacing myself either. Personally, I'm just like, yeah, I get to the point where I'm just absolutely exhausted and can't keep going.
Yep.
That could be almost worthwhile doing a full episode on burnout. Sounds like we've got a heap to talk about on the topic.
Yeah, I think so. It might be a very depressing episode.
We'll all wear.
I think a good depressing episode every now and then is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, like, you want to be a writer. Here we go.
Good luck with that.
Are you ready for the pain? Nice. Yeah, in terms of stuff I did this year, this was kind of a weird one because this is the first year that I haven't published anything since.
Oh, you fucking slacker.
2018, which is kind of crazy. I mean, 2018 was like a short story or a few short stories that got published. So not the same level as novels and everything. But last year, 2020 had like 2 novels that came out. 2019 had 1 novel that came out. This year, nothing that came out. And yet it's probably the most I've ever written in terms of what I was working on was the interactive fiction game, The Siege of Treblin, which the other day I saw like the preview come up for the Steam store page for it, which is kind of cool.
How's that out?
What's that?
When's it out?
On the Steam page, it says March of next year.
Right, okay.
I haven't finished editing it yet, so I don't know how solid that date is.
You don't have time to stop. There's no downtime for you.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be that much longer left. It's probably a few more days of editing the third draft, then it's off to the playtesters, and then it'll get proofread, which I don't really need to be involved in that much. Then some final edits about after that, and then it'll be slotted into their release schedule whenever it comes out. So yeah, like hopefully that should come out soon. Now I started writing this in, it would have been late 2020, but I pitched to them initially in like early 2020. So by the time it comes out, it will have been a 2-year project. And the total word count,
for this beast?
Total word count is 260,000 words.
Oof.
So that is why I felt like I wrote a lot last year without actually publishing anything.
That's pretty much a trilogy. Like, I mean,
yep.
Well, here's the thing, right? I calculated that based on the fact that when I've been writing this story, in fact, I've got my extremely nerdy calculation prediction things right here. Because I've mentioned this before on the show, but basically I keep a big Excel spreadsheet that just has all of my writing stats in it. I find it really motivating to see the numbers tick up. So where was it? I figured out that, I don't know the exact stats here, but basically because I have to write and code the game simultaneously, it was like for an hour spent on this, I would get 60 to 70% as many words down as I would for an hour writing a regular novel. So actually, it was even less. It was like probably close to 50%. So what I figured out is that the 260,000 words that I spent on this project would probably have been equivalent to close to 500,000 words on a regular novel type project.
That's impressive.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it definitely feels like this year has been a huge exercise in endurance. It's been great because I feel like it's really upgraded my ability to have a sense of writing stamina. Coming from my previous longest book was this thing over here, which was like Across Broken Stars, which was 80,000 words. And at the time I was like, wow, that's a lot of words. But this thing is, what's that, like more than three times longer than it and then some. So yeah, when it's all added up, the three books I've published so far, if you add all of their word counts together and then you add another Across the Broken Stars on the end of that, it's the same length as this one story. So yeah, anyway, basically I've just said it in 20 million different ways. It's been really long. That's probably been the main takeaway this year, is this has been a really long and intensive writing project, but I think it's been super worth it. I've really enjoyed writing the game, and it has made me, I think, focus a lot more on the importance of choice in stories, which is a bit of an obvious one. You know, the game mechanic is all about the different choices you make, and it's sort of a choose your own adventure style thing. Although you can't say choose your own adventure for copyright reasons. So I mean that hypothetically. And it's really cool because it forces you to put the player character into positions where they have to make really difficult choices. And I think that that's, in a lot of ways, the core of what makes novels really interesting as well. When you give characters these intensely difficult decisions where there is no right answer. In fact, they're all just wrong answers. And they have to pick one. And it tells you a lot about a character, the decisions they make during those moments of crises. So I think that's something that I will be hopefully carrying across next time I do a regular novel project. That's the other thing that I sort of started doing in the last month of last year, is starting to outline the next thing, which is tentatively planned to be a trilogy. And I think it'll be interesting, like going back into writing a regular novel after doing this totally different medium for so long. I'm hoping I should be a lot quicker at it because I think this thing has definitely, you know, made me a lot faster just because it's been harder to do the coding and everything. It's been a really interesting experience writing the game. I super enjoyed it. I'll probably do another one eventually someday, maybe not for a while, but it's been good. And yeah, hopefully that should come out like early next year or so, which is exciting.
Ah. Good work.
Cheers, man. Yeah, so
fingers crossed the new trilogy flies out.
Yeah, hopefully. It's been quite interesting. So yeah, what would you guys think in terms of the craft of writing? We've probably got like another 5 minutes before we wrap up this episode. In terms of like the craft of writing, do you guys think that there's any particular lessons that you kind of pulled out of the projects you were doing this year? So for example, you know, with my choice of games thing, I mentioned with the Siege of Trevlin story, I mentioned the importance of giving the main character difficult choices, right? That's probably been the biggest thing that I've taken away from this year. What for you guys would be some of the writing lessons that you've, you know, maybe not learned, it could be relearned or just strengthened throughout the last year?
For me, I would say if you're thinking about dropping a book that you've started, set it aside and come back to it rather than dropping it and then immediately starting to write it again. Because, you know, like I said, I started that thing three times and probably any one of them was fine. But I hit a point where I wasn't sure what was going on, really didn't feel the motivation for the characters, just shit wasn't clicking. And I dropped it and went, okay, no, I got to scrap all that. I got to start again. And just did this sort of fresh start each time. Never, you know, for those first three, I never sort of set it aside when, okay, let's do something else and come back to it. I just like manically hurled myself back into it, which is, you know, clearly dumb. So before you completely drop a project, consider, you know, setting it aside and giving it a bit of time. As you might find when you come back to it, it's not so bad.
It's a good lesson.
I think for me, I learned, it's probably relearned. Eska keeps teaching me the same fucking lesson. Listen to your characters. I had this problem with book two of Eska's series, Lessons Never Learned, where it just wasn't really flowing, and I powered through and wrote an entire book, which I then scrapped because it was a pile of crap. And I swear I learned the same damn lesson in book four, because like it was going well, and then there was a point where it wasn't, and I wasn't feeling it, and it felt like a slog, and I just sort of like, it was because it was just, it had gone wrong, and it was almost like, you know, Esker was telling me, this isn't the way to go, turn back, fuck off. And I just wasn't listening, so I was powering on, and I ended up, I think I deleted something like 30,000 words of that book, and just scrapped it and went, right, where I've been trying to make this go isn't working, let's roll it back to where it was working and just go in a slightly different direction. Same overall things happened in the story, mostly, but I just got rid of a section that just didn't work and replaced it with a different section, which did. So yeah, it was just sort of listening to my characters. If they're telling me this isn't the way to go, then it's probably not the way to go.
Yeah. And I think the other lesson I keep learning, which is I learn with every single fucking book, is endings are difficult. Like the last, especially like the ending of the last book of your trilogy. Like, holy shit, how are you going to make everybody happy? Like you want that sweet, sweet denouement, and yet you kind of want to leave something a little bit open, but you have to close things off. You have to finish off storylines, and goddamn, I wrote the ending for End of Sorrow 4 times before I was happy. And I think I got it, because so far I've heard from 2 beta readers and they're like, thumbs up. Fuck yeah. So that's good. But fuck, this is difficult.
Yeah. It's easy just to write 2 books and then ignore book 3.
Brilliant plan.
Just a little jab to the ribs there.
Oh, that's it. Just start the year off with some bruised rib bones. Nice stuff.
Fucker.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up our first episode of the new year. Hope you enjoyed that, listening or watching to this. We're really trying to grow the podcast this year. So, you know, if you are a listener of this and you've been a listener of this for a long time, really appreciate if you could go ahead and share this with a friend of yours who's into writing, or a friend of yours who isn't into writing but would enjoy listening to us for some reason, which apparently Rob was saying before we started recording, there is a market for that. There's people
some
who
people
listen.
Just like listening to us because we chat, we're friends, we're company.
That's
come,
it.
Come join us.
Come join
sit
us.
Sit beside us.
Put
beside
us on in the background.
Don't talk.
And
don't talk.
Us.
Just listen to us. But yeah, sit beside. Yeah. Now you can talk. You can send us responses to episodes. That's how we get the conversation going. And we have actually had quite a few cool comments come through. So if you have been enjoying this, you know, we'd really love to help this podcast grow. And the benefit of this podcast growing is it really makes it a lot easier to get big guests on. And that will counterbalance the fact that we've insulted all the authors I want to get on earlier in this episode. maybe don't share this episode with those authors, but yeah, we'd love to get some, you know, some bigger guests on. And the best way that you can help us do that is by sharing this episode with your friends or in writing groups that you're part of or whatever. And that will help a lot. Also just want to say massive thank you to our patrons. We launched our Patreon just under a year ago, and it's been going really, really strong. So really thank you for all of our patrons for supporting us, especially big thank you to our high tier patron Daniel Henderson. So thanks for listening to our first episode of the year, and we will see you next week. Bye everybody.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.